start now. Last week we began to look at the parables of the kingdom of heaven. And I remember I told us that the kingdom of heaven is in different parts. You have, let me tell you, you have the identity of the kingdom of heaven. You have the identification of the kingdom of heaven. And I told us that the identity of the kingdom of heaven is what we've been learning. We all know it. We know it. You've known it for so long. I preach it for almost over 6 years. I'm still talking about it today. In fact, I've talked so much about it, it has become part of me so much. It is called the new man. The new man is an identity of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven was never existent, manifested on this earth until 2,000 years ago when Jesus came. And because Jesus came, but the word of the Lord said, the kingdom of heaven is near you. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is now near you. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the coming of the kingdom of heaven. Christ is the king over the kingdom. And wherever he is, the kingdom of heaven is there. Hallelujah. And so, but for people, for you to have a kingdom, you can have a king. But a king, for a king to have a kingdom, it is people that make kingdom. Are you getting me? And 2,000 years ago, he went to the cross, died, rose from the dead. And through his death and resurrection, he rose. Through his death, he terminated the old race, the Adamic race. Christ took all the Adamic race to himself on the cross. The death of Christ was the death of the Adamic race. That means the race that is of the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of Satan and man, the old man, the Adamic race, which is under the influence of the principalities and the powers of the prince of the power of the air. And all these things, they were all terminated and died with Christ through the cross, through his death. Hallelujah. And when Christ rose, Christ resurrected with a new kind of humanity. That is why when Stephen was stoned in the book of Acts, when Stephen was stoned, Bible said that his face shined like an angel. And when he looked up to heaven, Bible says, the word of the Lord says in the book of Acts, that he saw Jesus. He saw the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, standing at the right hand of God. Listen, he didn't say he saw the Son of God. It was man that he saw. When he saw Christ, he saw him as a man at the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. That means man now has been exalted. Now, how can man get there? That man that was standing at the right hand of God is a kind of new humanity. That is the new man. Are we understanding me? That is what? The new man. That is a new kind of humanity. That is the kind of people who are making up the new kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. They are born of God. Are we understanding me? So it's like through Adam, through the Adamic race, some whole generation and races of human beings were produced because the Adamic race was fruitful. The Adamic race multiplied, but the only thing it didn't do was that it didn't dominate the earth. But it was fruitful and multiplied. He reproduced himself and filled the earth with men of sin, men of the flesh. Now, this man Christ, when he rose, he too now is being fruitful. He's multiplying, but thanks to God, he is also having dominion on the earth. Dominion on the earth is the significance that he is a man having dominion by standing at the right hand of God. What kind of authority is flowing through him? The authority of the throne that is standing on what throne? The throne of God. This is a man by the throne of God. With me, this man, through this man, the authority of the throne of God is now available through man to flow on the earth. And how is it flowing on the earth? He left something called the church on the earth, his body, through whom the power will flow on the earth. Are we understanding me? So the people, if we are even going to begin to walk in the kingdom, our identity must be sorted right at the beginning. Of the who we are, what does it mean to be a Christian? Who is a Christian? To be a Christian is what I'm talking to you about. To be a Christian means you have been taken out of one humanity and you now belong to a different kind of humanity, and you need to learn different traditions, different culture, different rules and regulations, and different occupation, different race, different nationality, different father, mother, different parents. Hallelujah. Different parents who have begotten you, be it God the Father and spiritual parent, different brothers and sisters, different school called the church, different university, different work experience called the workings of the Holy Ghost, and everything different. But your physical life is to give you a picture of something new that God has given you. Everything you ever have there, there is a new counterpart of it here. Praise the Lord. Are we understanding that? And so, there is that identification of the kingdom. And then apart from the identification of the kingdom, you have the blessedness of the kingdom. The blessings of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And if you look at scriptures, blessings of the kingdom of heaven is in Matthew chapter 5, from verse 1 all through to 12. That is why when Paul said, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessings. He didn't say physical blessings. He said spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. That means the spiritual blessings are things to do with who Christ is and what Christ has. Praise God. That is why when Christ himself, now the blessings are in Christ. Now Christ, who holds the blessing, in Matthew 5 begins to tell us what the blessings are. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You want to, the blessings of the earth? You want to inherit the earth? You want the blessings of the earth? You want to have dominion on the earth? He said, blessed are the meek. That means the meek is designed and wired for dominion on the earth. That is why meek is a watchword for a dominion church. The lower you go, the higher you be. The greatest honor is Jesus Christ, but he went lower than anybody. And it is a pattern of heaven. The most prideful person in the whole universe is going to the lowest depth. The most prideful person is the enemy. I will exalt myself. I will be like God. I will. And is the one going down to the lowest part. It's a principle before we were created. It's a principle till today. Hallelujah. That is why sometimes for Christ's sake we need to be fools. There are some things sometimes we need to be cheated and be like fools sometimes. And not be people that always are grabbing for our rights. Pastor wants me. I have right to rest today. You've just missed it. Hallelujah. Are you understanding me? I'm a human being. I said, right, yeah, you have a right. And you can take your right. And once you decide to take your right in the kingdom, we always back off. But for every right to make a demand of you, it is an opportunity for you to qualify and see yourself qualify for something. Sometimes men of God who are in the spirit make demands on something, not because they want to, but because sometimes it is an opportunity for you. Elijah never knew what he was saying. Elijah said, I'm following you. God told Elijah, said, follow Elijah. Elijah heard from God that he had to make sure he saw Elijah to the end. God already told him. Elijah himself said, if you see me go, then this will be your portion. Elijah spoke by the Lord. Elijah, if you see me go. God told Elijah, you have to see him go. Elijah knew how to see him go. Yet where they were going, Elijah said, stay. Did he want him to stay? It was to stay. You have a right not to go far. You have a right to have your comfort like the multitude of the sons there. Are you like them, or is this genuine in your heart? Stay. Even though that man, Elijah, knew his destiny, knew that his to see him go was there. He said it himself, until you see me go, you won't have it. And before Elijah meet Elisha, God already told Elijah that you are going to meet Elisha and he's going to take your mantle. Do you know that? Why did he now say at the point of his destiny say stay there? That's something else for leadership. I won't go into that. For new covenant, this latest century believers today. Blessedness of the kingdom. You can see it in Matthew 5. I'm not saying any other blessedness is something, but one thing I've seen is that I want to look at the scriptures and see the scriptures as they are. And the spiritual blessings are in Christ. And that is why when you look at the spiritual blessing that Paul began to mention, he said, in him, he has predestined us. In him, we have forgiveness. In him, we have an inheritance. You see that there are all things to do with the nature and the character of the Lord. And if you do have character, I say, he has forgiven you in Christ. The blood has washed you for you to carry on. Praise God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. If that is not a blessing for me to be a son of God, I don't know what a blessing then is. Because John said, what manner of love is it that the God, our Father, has bestowed and called us children of God, which means it's a blessing. And Jesus said to be a son of God is to be a peacemaker. In order you are a vessel of reconciliation, not breaking. Hallelujah. So you yourself must be reconciled in yourself. Not that I'm offended, I'm taking right. But we think about the body. We think about the church. We think about his kingdom in our reactions. Oh my God. Hallelujah. That alone will withdraw all your rights from you. Paul said, don't I have right like other apostles not to walk? Why is it that I am working and doing ministry, but do I not have right? Don't I have right to marry like other people? He said, but I've chosen not to use all this right for the sake of the gospel of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean what Peter did was wrong, but Paul was under an European atmosphere. And to break the power of the European atmosphere demands such sacrifice as that. Are we understanding me? Paul was ministering to a kind of principalities and the powers we see in these days. Paul was exposed to an European mentality. If you are exposed to the Jewish mentality, which is like those in Africa, it is different. You can claim some right. But here to really overcome, it will take a selfless man. Amen. I'm debating too much. Praise the Lord. God bless you, sir. Hallelujah. And so, we have to understand these blessings of the kingdom. And the blessings of the kingdom, Jesus told us, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Why are not people not having revelations today? Do you know you don't have to spend 10 hours to get the knowledge to see the Lord in these scriptures? Why should somebody spend 20 hours and somebody only looks 5 minutes? He had to put the scriptures down and begin to close his eyes to see and to meditate and to receive. It's the purity of heart. Because God speaks through the heart. If it is impure, even when he's showing you, you can't hear it. And all boils down to brokenness, humility. Praise God. And so we can see that the blessedness is absolutely, the blessing of the kingdom is one part. And then we have the present manifestation of the kingdom on the earth. Then we have the future manifestation of the kingdom. Praise God. Now, because we don't have a good understanding of the present manifestation of the kingdom and the future manifestation of the kingdom, that is why a lot of people don't understand some scriptures concerning the gospel. Praise God. I was in a meeting somewhere yesterday, and the man of God was talking about a parable where Jesus Christ said he gave her 5 talents, 2 talents, and he said, we better serve God and do everything. He said, because the 1 talent was thrown into outer darkness. Amen. And then he said, outer darkness, but I don't know what that is, but whatever it is, doesn't sound good. Praise the Lord. By the end of it, in his mind, it's as if we are saved, we can be saved, but yet it's as if our salvation, we can still lose it. Why? Because there is no proper, he pressed to a level, but didn't understand what the outer darkness is. So in other words, he couldn't appreciate what that area was. He was like, I don't know what that is, so we might lose that service. So everybody just be careful. Make sure you are doing well. Make sure you're not missing it. Praise the Lord. And I sat there and said, wow, praise the Lord. I know what it is. We are saved and shall always be saved, for though it might be through fire. Amen. But when you understand what the present manifestation of the kingdom is, And then the future manifestation of the kingdom will begin. All these feasts will be settled. Pray, are we getting something here? So these parables we are looking at is dealing with the present manifestation of the kingdom on the earth. Present manifestation. Hallelujah. Present manifestation. So when we get to the parables like the mustard seed, and begin to look at the mustard seed, we find out that the interpretation of the mustard seed is quite different. The interpretation of the mustard seed is telling us that a church can be in existence and demons are overruling the church. Now, if somebody does not understand the difference between the present and the future kingdom, they will say that is wrong. They will not understand how can demons come and set on the church, because presently we are still on earth. We are fighting. Present kingdom, the present kingdom of God is fighting. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence takes it by force. For if you refuse to be violent in the kingdom, you've had it. It is the violence that takes it by force now. In the future, we might not need to fight, but now it's a fighting era. We are in the fighting period of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And every one of us know by your experience, but since you have become a believer, if you have not been fighting, you will not have been able to continue. Things come against you. You dare fold your hands and say, oh, it's all right. Before you know it, you're gone. Amen. And so in order for us to understand and to be able to conduct ourselves very well in this present, Jesus gave us this parable. Listen to me. Jesus gave us these parables, and these parables are prophetic parables. They are prophecies. They are not doctrine. He wasn't teaching them doctrine. He was prophesying, but in a parable way. And the reason why he gave it in parable was because he knew that it was not meant for everybody. Because like we learned last week, someone came to him and said, why are you speaking to them in parables? He said, because for them, it is not for them to know, but it's for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It has been given to the disciples of Jesus Christ, only them to know the mysteries. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so all these parables, they are prophetic parables. He was prophesying. And now most of these parables, most of all of them are done. They've all been fulfilled. Except one, which talks about the judgment we're going to face in the future. Praise God. And because judgment day has not come, that's why that one has been fulfilled. I want to read this out to us. Like last week, we looked at like the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is the first parable in the present manifestation of the kingdom on earth. Praise the Lord. Would there be the kingdom of God in the future? Yes. But do you think the word of God is going to be preached during the 1,000 years of Christ? No. Everything that needs to be preached is being preached today to build you up. It is what you learn from what you hear now that you are going to use to rule and reign then. So if you are not built up in the world, you will not be qualified and part of the believers that will come and rule and reign with Christ. Such people will be shut down in outer darkness. It's as simple as that. So the hearing of the word is the most important thing. That's why I told me, he said, Mary has chosen the best part. Because the most important thing is for us to know the word of God. Not, when I say know the word of God, I'm not saying head knowledge. When you know it, application of the word of God in our lives. God said, pay tithe, you pay tithe. God said, give offering, you give offering. I know about tithe. That does not mean you know the word of God. But when you pay it, then God says, now you know. Are you getting me? No divorce. I know about divorce, but you divorce. You don't know it. If you know, you will not have divorced. It's as simple as that. No sex before marriage. I know about holiness. But until you keep yourself holy without unlawful sex activity, you still have not known it yet. So it is what you do that demonstrates what you know. And that is why what we do is what is going to reward us for. It is a reward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Jesus said that, he said the seed that fell on the wayside, he said it's like those who hear the word of the kingdom and they do not understand it, and the wicked one comes to just take the word out of their heart. The question is, why would somebody hear the word of the kingdom and not understand? I'll read from verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. That is, when the word came, there was no understanding. Why did they not understand him? Jesus said it in the book of John, chapter 8. He said, why do you not understand my word? He said, why do you, he said, it is because you are not able to receive it.
Hallelujah.
People were, they understand Jesus. Jesus looked at them and said, why is it that you could not understand what I'm saying to you? Oh, let me see if I can get that scripture out for us. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's in the book of John chapter 8, if I'm right. John chapter 8, verse 43. John 8, verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. So the ability to listen is not there. And why do people not have ability to listen? Look at the book of 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. The book of 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, remember, when they don't understand, the wicked come to steal it. Jesus said, John 8, verse 43, why are you not able to understand my word? Because you are not able to listen. Why are they not able to listen? Are we there, 2 Timothy? For the time will come. 2 Timothy 4, 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine because of their own desires. Because they have itchy ears, they will heap up teachers from themselves. And they will turn from their ears away from the truth and turn to fables. So why are people not able to listen? People are not able to listen because of their own desires. So they want to hear things always according to their desires. And their desire can even be spiritual. I can know something before, but it is not the whole truth. And everywhere I go, I'm looking for, or if they, until they say anything in agreement with that, people have not said anything. There are some people like that. All they want to hear is to agree what they already have, whereas what they already have is a lie. Or it is half truth and not the whole truth. Because the truth is not given to you all at once. A little here, a little there. A little here, a little there. God does not give you everything every time. But some people, when they hear it, they put a full stop to it and say, oh, this is all we know. Oh, what he said. No, I don't agree with that. And Jesus, that is why. Why are they not able? These were people who were brought up under the Mosaic law. They just got born again. They just believed in Jesus. And they were expecting Jesus to always speak as the Pharisees were speaking. They wanted to hear him as Moses will be speaking according to the law. And because Christ was speaking with authority and speaking by revelation, they did not receive it. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And they said, how can you say we shall be set free? We are Abraham's descendant. Can you see? What they have known, they have been taught that because they are born of Abraham, they are God's chosen people, and nothing can be wrong with them. And here comes a son of God, come with revelation, and said, look, you might be born of Abraham, but like you need to be set free. And then they said, no, we can't, we are not even in bondage. And Jesus said, why are you not able to hear me? You can't understand me because you are not able to listen to me. And they are not able to listen to me because they have itchy ears. They are itchy because of their own desires. We saw that in 2 Timothy. So they are always looking for people to speak in line with their desires. And if what you are saying is not in line with my desire, you go with your teaching. I want somebody right now that speaks what I want. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And when the devil gets up, people will laugh. Because while the word is coming, the Bible says the devil comes and takes the seed out of their heart and goes. That's why you can preach and preach for hours. A minute after out the door, people forget everything. Hallelujah. I've been to great meetings before, where after preaching the power of God, everybody felt that they are nothing. We're all crying and weeping. After the door, people were slapping themselves. Believers, pa, pa, why did you slap at me? Pa, pa, pa. And we are to go, please, don't fight. Jesus is Lord. We are children of God. Let's put spirituality test. We have to be wise today. Hey, boom, ba, ba. Praise the Lord. So we have to be very careful that we don't become people that the enemy snatches the word. How do you prevent yourself from falling into the wayside trap? By always neglecting, denying yourself when you come before God. Come before God like a child, like someone who does not know anything. Let the Holy Spirit give you discernment of what is wrong and right. Don't work it out yourself. Are you hearing me? I was so blessed in the meeting I went yesterday. So blessed. I received so much. And there are some things I received, but as I was receiving them, something in me says, oh yeah, no, that one is not well cooked. Amen. But that did not make me to stand up and say, hey, I'm going. I appreciate, you know why? Because I gained a lot. I get it, me. And that does not mean that the ministry is bad or teacher is bad or everything is bad. It's just what we still need to know. There are some things I can say not complete. It's something I still need to know. And that is what the Holy Spirit will give you. But like many believers, I see them. Where are you going? I don't agree with what you say. No, you just operated by the devil there. Hallelujah. That's not discernment. Discernment brings love. Discernment brings love. It makes you appreciate God. And you begin to see the need in the body. Sometimes it drives you to prayer. Lord, bring this revelation. This part, Lord, bring it. I thank God for this. Father, I thank you. I've learned so much. But Lord, we need to know this. Not even say they need to know. Oh, we need to know this, Father. We need to know this area, Father. That is humility. Not Lord, show them they need to know. They need know. Like we have to pray like Daniel. We need to know. Lord, there's something we didn't get there. Lord, show us, please. Even though you know it, Lord, show us. Show us. That's humility. Then you are a blessing to the body. I don't know why I went into all that. But that is what we need to watch for. Is it being fulfilled today? It's being fulfilled every day. Everybody is going to meet in churches today, but some percentage are going to go out of their churches absolutely as if they have never been there. Because they are sitting there not even with a heart of humility. We must come before God with a humble heart. The more you know, the more you have to put yourself down. Praise God. The more, he said, watch for even for myself. The more I know, I have to remind myself, I've come here to learn something. I don't know something. Yes, I'm here. I'm going to learn. Because something in your flesh will begin to pop up all your knowledge you know. You know this, don't you? Paul, you know this. Oh, new man, you know it. You have to say, no, I need to learn. Get thee behind me, Satan. I need to learn. I've got something to learn from this ministry. Or from this man of God. Praise God. Says the second parable. It's like the seed that is sown on a rock. It's sown on a rock. And the people receive it with joy. But when persecution came, When persecution came, Bible says that the word did not profit them, didn't bear fruit. What does that mean? That these are people that believed the word when it was preached. Some people, they were criticizing. Those one were God. This one were not criticizing. They received, they rejoiced over that word. When they heard it, they rejoiced over it. But when it was time for that word to be practiced, they failed. You know, when it was time for them to now do the word, I've seen many people that rejoice on Sunday. And then the next week, they are complaining. And they said, remember what was said there? Hey, Pastor, but this is reality. This is reality. I'm angry with God. I'm angry with this. It's reality. I don't know what is more real than God's word. Because in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Praise the Lord. God's word is more real than me. Do you know God's word is more real than every one of us here? God's word is more real than anything in this world. You can't be more real than what gave birth to you. Everything was made out of the word of God. So what can be in this world that is more real than God? Your problems? Absolutely no. Even the devil, who is the originator of problems, he was spoken out by God and made by God. It was the word of God that formed all the angels. And Satan was one of the angels, and God spoke them out. Let there be angels. Amen. And there was angels. That is where we have the honor. When God was going to make us, he didn't say, let there be man. He made man in his image. And not only that, he gave birth to us. Oh, hallelujah. Are you understanding me? So that devil was spoken out by the word of God. So if he's the originator of problem, what problem can he bring that will be more real than the word of God? The word of God is more real than anything. It's the reality. That is why the word of God is called the truth. And every other thing that is not in line with the word of God is a lie. Praise the Lord. Are we understanding me? I don't know if I'm hurting somebody. Please, sorry. Amen. But I want to say that very clearly. We might find out that everything is a lie about the word of God. That is why when Jesus came, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Before Jesus came, there was no truth. But before Jesus came, there were problems. People were divorcing. There were all problems that people call reality. But when he came, he said, I'm the truth. Hallelujah. So let every problem be silent. And let the truth speak. And when the preaching of the word is coming, when the word is received, you believe it. When it is time to try and to put in practice and to test it, don't say the circumstances now a real situation. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How can you rejoice over the word in the church and out there becomes irrelevant? How can we rejoice over something we hear? And then in reality, if we don't have power to overcome, let's go to God and say, Lord, I know your word is true, but I'm struggling. God loves people like that. Hallelujah. Are we hearing me? Lord, you said I should love my wife as Christ loved the church. I know that's true. But this woman, my, to love her is absolutely a workload. Lord, this is a real problem. Please help me, Father. God loves people like that. And people like that go far with God. But to say, don't tell me about Ephesians 5. Let's face reality. God, you are despising the word. One of the best ways to increase in grace is to go to God and say, Lord, you said I should love my brother. And I believe I should love my brother. But this brother, John, I'm just struggling to love him. And I know it's not right, Lord. So, Lord, help me and strengthen me. Please help me to love John. Because I don't like the way I'm behaving towards him. But, Lord, between me and you, I can't say this to him. But, Lord, I don't like him. I don't like John, but it's your child. It's my brother, but I don't like John. But I want to love John. Please help me to love John. Grace comes quickly like that. But people who pretend, they pretend to God, oh Lord, I just love you, I just love your people. And the Holy Spirit reminded you of John, but you don't like John. Oh Lord, I just bless John. I bless John. No, that's lying. That is why many people don't grow. That's why many people don't have revelation. Are you getting me? Be quick to repent. Be quick to forgive. If you know you have made a mistake, adjust quickly. Praise God. And then we will not fall into the trap of people who hear the word of God and rejoice for a while, But yet they go. One thing keeps surprising me. How many believers believe that they are healed by his stripes? Almost every believer will say, I'm healed by his stripes. But yet, let sickness knock on the door. I'm healed by his stripes, but I'm not coming to church today. Now, so which means the church you've been going before, it was the devil that was coming there. Was it the Lord? How can it be the Lord? If truly the Lord is coming there, and you are sick, I believe people should be running. So say, where are believers gathering here? I need some sickness cast out of me. Where is there any gathering of believers here? Praise the Lord. People should be telling their workplace, I'm sick. I'm really, really tired to go to work. And then they say, okay, you have this day off. And they are looking around for the gathering of believers to come round and to pray. Amen. And to pray off that sickness. I will not say don't go to GP. You can go to GP. But to because of healed by his stripes, still say, I call it hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is something we profess, but in action, our action is totally contrary. Amen. Do you know as we are gathered here, the Lord is here? That Lord who heals is here. That Lord who heals is only in a little measure in your room, but is in a bigger measure here. How can you say you believe he heals and you are sick and you stay out? Do we understand? Which means we really don't believe that the Lord is in our midst. And it explains why we don't have revival, because when we come, we don't really believe he's here. Because if we believe it, we will rush to where believers are and say, look, I've tried this on my own. I need a greater measure of the Lord. I've been to my GP, I've used this, but I don't want to use the tablet for too long, please. I'm depending on the Lord to get rid of it completely. So I won't use the tablets. Praise God. But what will big percentage of believers do? I'm healed by stripes. Oh, Pastor, it's all the Christ has done it all. Hallelujah. But I'm not coming to church because I'm sick. But you say Christ has done it all. Amen. I'm dramatizing because I want us to see how we are laughing. That's how demons laugh. It is me, they just laugh. Oh, and the angels are like, oh, come on, Lord, give him revelation. Don't let these demons keep laughing. And the demons tell the angels, don't waste time. They won't listen to you. Don't waste time. We filled him with too much unbelief. He won't go. Just leave it there. And the angels go. And the Lord begins to walk in that believer and say, look, up, you are healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, we've said so much this morning, but not in a very fast way. Little by little I've been covered, but I believe it's of the Lord. I pray the spirit of revelation upon you today. I pray the spirit of understanding upon you. I pray the spirit of discernment upon you. I pray that God will captivate your heart with who Christ is. I pray that you will see the vision of the Lord. I pray that you come to a vision of Christ, the Son of God. I pray that we will come into an encounter, personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. God is looking for people who will have an encounter with him. May he find you as one of them. It is a day of Gideon in which people are so relaxed. But God is raising you up to be people who, though are resting, drinking water, but are still alert in the spirit. I declare sensitivities in your spirit. And I also pray for the humility of Christ at the same time. For God receives the pride, but gives grace to the humble. May you be so humble to be full of the grace of God. May you be so humble that the grace of God will overflow out of you and flow into others' lives. Your life of humility shall be a testimony to the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we thank you. Lord, we give all praise and glory to you. Lord, we just bless you today. We give glory to you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's bless him.